Linda had stirred uneasily, had opened her eyes for a moment, looked vaguely around, and then once more dropped off to sleep. Sitting beside her, the savage tried hard to recapture his mood of a few minutes before.
A, B, C, vitamin D,
he repeated to himself, as though the words were a spell that would restore the dead past to life. But the spell was ineffective. Obstinately, the beautiful memories refused to rise. There was only a hateful resurrection of jealousies and ugliness and miseries. Poppy, with the blood trickling down from his cut shoulder, and Linda hideously asleep, and the flies buzzing round the spilt mescal on the floor beside the bed, and the boys calling those names as she passed. Ah, no, no. He shut his eyes. He shook his head in strenuous denial of these memories.
A, B, C, vitamin D.
He tried to think of those times when he sat on her knees, and she put her arms about him and sang over and over again, rocking him to sleep.
A, B, C, vitamin D. Vitamin D, vitamin D.
The supervox Wurlitzeriana had risen to a sobbing crescendo, and suddenly the verbena gave place in the scent circulating system to an intense patchouli. Linda stirred, woke up, stared for a few seconds bewilderedly at the semi-finalists, then, lifting her face, sniffed once or twice at the newly perfumed air, and suddenly smiled, a smile of childish ecstasy.
Poppy, she murmured and closed her eyes. Oh, I do so like it. I do.
She sighed and let herself sink back into the pillows.
But Linda,
the savage spoke imploringly,
don't you know me?
He had tried so hard, had done his very best. Why wouldn't she allow him to forget? He squeezed her limp hand almost with violence, as though he would force her to come back from this dream of ignoble pleasures, from these base and hateful memories, back into the present, back into reality, the appalling present, the awful reality, but sublime, but significant, but desperately important, precisely because of the imminence of that which made them so fearful.
Don't you know me, Linda?
He felt the faint answering pressure of her hand. The tears started into his eyes. He bent over her and kissed her. Her lips moved.
Poppy,
she whispered again. And it was as though he had a pailful of ordure thrown in his face. Anger suddenly boiled up in him. Balked for the second time, the passion of his grief had found another outlet, was transformed into a passion of agonized rage.
But I'm John! He shouted. I'm John!
And in his furious misery, he actually caught her by the shoulder and shook her. Linda's eyes fluttered open. She saw him, knew him.
John!
But situated the real face, the real and violent hands, in an imaginary world, among the inward and private equivalents of patchouli and the super Wurlitzer, among the transfigured memories and the strangely transposed sensations that constituted the universe of her dream. She knew him for John, her son, but fancied him an intruder into that paradisal Malpace where she had been spending her summer holiday with Poppy. He was angry because she liked Poppy. He was shaking her because Poppy was there in the bed, as though there were something wrong, as though all civilized people didn't do the same.
Everyone belongs to everyone.
Her voice suddenly died into an almost inaudible, breathless croaking. Her mouth fell open. She made a desperate effort to fill her lungs with air, but it was as though she had forgotten how to breathe. She tried to cry out, but no sound came. Only the terror of her staring eyes revealed what she was suffering. Her hands went to her throat, then clawed at the air she could no longer breathe, the air that for her had ceased to exist. The savage was on his feet, bent over her. "What is it, Lender? What is it?" His voice was imploring. It was as though he were begging to be reassured.